the idea was that even though I'm giving this art free, and it would take 20 plus hours sometimes to make some of these, whoever got it would then, for them to take it, they would be challenged, you know, morally to pay it forward. And I thought, you know, it could be something as simple as that person who was super excited to find it might start opening the door more for more people when they come through, or, you know, maybe just, I don't know, just smile more at people.
Stories tell everything. When someone tells a story, it resonates.
We're allies in trying to keep the attention and the money and the conversation local.
We've always found once we get people to Vermont, they love it here.
And it breaks down those stereotypical views of what people would otherwise think is happening up in Vermont.
Welcome to Learning Life, where we talk to Vermonters about their businesses, aspirations, and stories of life in the Green Mountains. I'm your host, John Toda. Let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of Learning Life. I'm your host, John Toda, and we're recording live here in the Dialed Studio at Hula. And our guest today is DJ Barry from World Cow. He's a very accomplished street artist and the founder of the World Cow Movement. DJ, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
So great to have you here, and I'm excited that you're able to come here in person. So for our audience, because some people might have heard about World Cow, I read about it in a great article in the Burlington Free Press, but for anybody who doesn't know about it already, give us kind of the quick overview of what you're doing.
The quick overview, the elevator pitch for World Cow is it's a global brand promoting kindness. It's also a global art movement with artists all around the world that are doing street art installs to help us kind of grow the herd, spread that message, and paint cows in public places. We do public art installations. We can do events and festivals. And at the end of the day, it's our message is we're all spots in the same cow. The image is a Holstein cow whose spots are arranged to be the map of the world. And we just really try to promote love, unity, anything that makes us different. You know, just we're in this life together. Let's be kind to each other. That's our thing.
Yeah, I love it. I read the article on you, and I was just blown away by the mission. And I love the art. It's really cool. And there's so many interesting aspects to the business story here as well, which we're going to dive into how you've grown it. But you personally, you are a Vermonter. You grew up here. We love to hear the stories of our fellow Vermonters who really grew up and built their business here. Tell us a little bit about your background growing up in Vermont and how that led you to this life as an artist, because obviously I think there's a little bit of this. You started as a musician and kind of made your way into art. So tell us how you came up here in Vermont and led to this.
Well, I was raised here in Vermont in Middlesex. Started going to UVM, lived in Burlington for a little bit, but I wasn't happy with that path. So music was always a passion, always played guitar and drums and other things like that. So I moved out to Seattle to try to start a band, dropped out of college. And that didn't work out, long story short. So I moved back to Vermont to sort of get back on my feet. And that's when I fell in love with painting and started with acrylics, painting abstract portraits, sort of experimental paintings, learning how to play with acrylics. Started doing art shows around Burlington, like August 1st Bakery was one of my first ones. Yeah, really loved the fact that I could just hang out in my bedroom and paint and have a glass of wine and no stress, unlike performing live and trying to be a rock star. You know, the painting really filled my soul for a creative outlet, and I had this opportunity to go to New York City to be in a show, and I really seemed to kind of hit a plateau at that point where I wasn't really finding motivation to create more. I felt comfortable with acrylics, but I needed to move on, and that's when I found about Banksy and the British street artist. This was back in 2015, and I watched his movie, kind of a documentary about the entire birth of street art, called Exit Through the Gift Shop. And in that movie, he shows a process of cutting out one of his infamous rat stencils with like an X-Acto blade, and it's out of a thick kind of paper cardboard. And I just had this aha moment where I was like, I got to try this. This looks really cool. And I can't really draw very well. So the fact that you could print something out and kind of trace it with a knife, cut it out and get those lines all appealed to me. And the first thing I did was made this barred owl. And I'll never forget peeling that stencil off and just seeing that I was able to paint an owl, which I never could have done freehand, or it wouldn't have looked that well. And so, it really changed my life, and I wanted to start experimenting more with stencils. So I was into photoshopping different objects, one of which, the first popular one was Darth Vader drinking a Heady Topper from the Alchemist Brewery. And people loved that. I mean, who doesn't love Darth Vader drinking a beer? I don't know. And so I started to continuously experiment with stencils, but still making kind of small canvases. And that's sort of how everything started.
And so when you talk about Darth Vader drinking a Heady Topper and you're the influence of Banksy, was a lot of this then essentially for our listeners, that's like photo mashing.
Yes.
Right? And so tell us a little bit about that. Like, for someone who's interested in this, you're essentially doing this in Photoshop. And then creatively coming up with that stencil. And then how does that process go from something that's in your head as an idea that you get into Photoshop? And then how does that become the stencil and then ultimately a piece of art?
So when you have the Photoshop, two different images, let's say Darth Vader and the Heady Topper, you then have to reduce it to layers. Black and white would be kind of one layer if you think about it. Or you could do light gray, dark gray, black and white, and kind of grayscale it. But then you get a lot more detail when you have maybe four layers instead of one. So it's usually just a simple button on the different types of softwares that just kind of reduce all the colors to black and white. And you can kind of play with that there. But you do have to think about how to cut it out so that you preserve certain detail, you don't lose too much or create so many layers by accident. So it's very experimental. By doing something really simple, like a silhouette, for example, you just take a silhouette, just a black silhouette of somebody. Right. That's an easy way to start.
But Darth Vader drinking a Heady Topper is harder, right?
It's harder, but if you think about it, Darth Vader's still black and white for the most part. So that wasn't that hard of an image to play around with. But if you took a photograph, say, of a town, and you wanted to reduce that to a stencil, that's when it really becomes kind of a headache to try to break apart how to make everything look right and have all this detail embedded in detail and all these different shades of grays. You know, you could really kind of lose yourself in that. So the simplest way to do it is to just try to take real simple objects and put them together.
Got it. So you're generally led to more simple black and white type of objects because that's going to lend itself more to a stencil or a more easy stencil to create.
Yeah, and if you look at Banksy's work, his stuff is super simple, very black and white in most cases. But that's because he's also doing it illegally and trying to get in and get out.
Oh, right.
Logan Hicks is one of the best stencil artists in the world in New York City, and he does entire landscapes, but his layers are just extremely numerous layers and just very involved and very colorful. So there, you can really achieve almost photographic images with stencils. It just depends on your patience. And if you are permitted to do that at that location, then you can take as much time as you want. You know, fortunately, when we paint our murals, we have permission. So we can take as much time as we want and make them as much detailed as we want.
Got it. So now, and I think this is an interesting story too, because you're part artist, part marketer, part business person. And for any artist who's listening, I think you're a great example of someone who's finding new ways to kind of press your artistic boundaries, but then also find ways to market and ultimately promote the business. So early on, you did some of these interesting stencils. You stencil onto canvas and then sell it, I think, in different local ways. And that had some success for you. Tell us a little bit about how you started to scale this more into a movement. And what brought you to cows from some of those early stencils you were doing?
Well, the cow came across a drive that I was taking on my birthday in the Northeast Kingdom. And I was in Craftsbury, and this cow was just up against the road, and it looked like it was modeling. I happened to have my nice digital camera with me. And so I got out of the car, took the photo of the cow, took several, and then picked one to just try to you know, turn into a stencil, just like I was doing with, you know, all the other images and designs. But when I started doing, you know, farmers markets, things like that, little events, pop-up craft fairs, people really seemed to gravitate towards the cow and compared to everything else I had on the table. And I think that's because, you know, that's one of our symbols here in Vermont. But also the cow being spray painted, no one could kind of figure out how that was painted. You know, everybody's painting cows in Vermont with acrylics or oils or watercolors. But when I explained how the cow was painted, they just couldn't figure it out. And it really kind of wowed them. And so I had this idea. I was like, wow, people love cows. Why don't we do this campaign called Cows for a Cause? And I would donate 50 to 100%, depending on the event or venue, of all cow-related art sales at my table to charity. I still had other images, you know, I had like a dog in a tuxedo was one of them, just kind of random playful things. But when people realized that and saw that their sale was also helping a charity, it just, they were more enticed to purchase it. They felt like they were contributing to charity. They were supporting an artist. And I realized that by giving, you know, those portions away, I was actually selling a lot more. And I had that kind of aha moment when I started doing scavenger hunts too, because, you know, at the time everybody's making paintings and trying to hustle and sell them, whether they're at a market or they're in a restaurant or wherever they're hanging them. But I realized if you gave it away, if you say create a community engaging scavenger hunt where they try to find it and, you know, you create the art, you hide it and you create a fun sort of experience for those families trying to go out and get it first. It started to make a name for myself, and it really started to grow my social media presence. And it's kind of like, instead of focusing so much on selling it for full value, think about carving some out for charity and, you know, just spreading that love. And when you do that, you'd be surprised it actually, you know, starts to work in your favor.
Yeah. So a couple things are really interesting here. Of course, we want to learn more about the World Cow and why it's called World Cow and what that became. But also, you mentioned scavenger hunts, and I think everyone's probably as intrigued by this as I am. You have one of them here with you. This is one of the cows that you have. You had it in your pocket. Tell the audience about the scavenger hunts and how and why you're doing it. It's super cool.
So they started in 2017, and the first one I hit was a world cow. I was painting that at the time, but I had this jigsaw, I had sheets of plywood, and I thought it'd be fun to stencil wood to paint. You know, you could stencil cartoon characters very easily because they're just solid colors. So I thought, well, what if I started stenciling these wood cutouts that I would carve out and hide them around? And I took it further, and on the back of it, I had a message that I painted with a stencil that said, "This artwork is free under one condition. You promise to do one good thing for the world." The idea was that even though I'm giving this art free, and it would take 20 plus hours sometimes to make some of these, whoever got it would then, for them to take it, they would be challenged, you know, morally to pay it forward. And I thought, you know, it could be something as simple as that person who was super excited to find it might start opening the door more for more people when they come through, or, you know, maybe just, I don't know, just smile more at people and whatever they chose to pay it forward. Maybe they bought somebody lunch one day when they wouldn't have. I thought those little acts of kindness would really kind of ripple through the community. And that depended on how many I could produce. So every time I produced a piece for a scavenger hunt, it would create a positive impact. And most of the time, I don't even know what people did. Sometimes they'd send a message saying, "Hey, I got my coworker's lunch that day." And I'd be like, great. But I thought it was really fun. A lot of times I would hide them, and I would take polls online too. I'd say, hey, what should I do next? And people would be like, Tasmanian Devil, or I did Elsa from Frozen. One time we hid the entire Smurf village across 10 different towns in Vermont on the same day by coordinating different people hiding them. It was really fun. I did Papa Smurf and everything, and we That's drove awesome. All over the state. That's an example of one that took me many, many hours to prepare for.
So with that, like, you're stenciling that onto wood?
Yeah.
Is that how you do it?
Same thing. I'm taking an image of Papa Smurf. I'm printing it off a couple times and using an X-Acto knife to cut out the different colors and shapes. And then I'm laying that on the wood and painting that with exterior paints. And then, you know, put the message on the back and hide them.
And so when you hide one, like the cow you have here with you today, typically, where would you hide? Like, what types of places are you hiding these in?
Well, the big ones were challenging to hide, so you know, that was very tough. We there's that tree fort in Oak Ledge Park, or I did Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat, a 4 foot tall one, actually, right inside that one. So I'll try to find little, like, off the beat places, but with some of the little cows, I can stick them in almost any nook and cranny on Church Street or wherever.
And so if I'm interested in participating, about how often do you do the scavenger hunts?
Let's see. I try to do them as much as I can. It's really kind of my main social media marketing at this point for TikTok and things like that. So whenever I'm out and about, like today I came to Burlington to do this, so I brought a cow with me. Next month, we're going to do a sales trip in California, and I'll bring a bunch of cows with me. So we'll hide them up and down the coast.
And so for anybody who's listening who wants to participate in scavenger hunts and follow, is TikTok the way to do it?
Yeah, TikTok and Instagram, Facebook are the three main ones. And I almost always copy paste across them all. So with the videos and the scavenger hunts, I'll make a reel on Instagram. I'll do the TikTok usually first. And those have gone viral a couple of times with millions and millions of views. They can go by pretty quick, actually. Sometimes we hang around and we'll watch and we'll see. A lot of times I'll just drop and run, just, you know.
That's great. Is it World Cow everywhere?
It's just World Cow.
World Cow. It's great. It's great. And so now let's talk a little bit about World Cow itself and how this is expanding outside of Vermont, because you said you're doing scavenger hunts in every place that you visit. But I think another really interesting aspect of this is that you've expanded globally and people are now taking this movement and expanding out in other parts of the world. Tell us how that's going.
Well, getting back to Cows for a Cause, when I was painting that cow, after I realized it was popular, I had to change the design. It was a very laborsome design, so I had to reduce it to black and white. And that's when it became World Cow. I knew the spots, the map of the world is a public domain. Nobody can trademark just the world itself. So it was a user-friendly image, you know, to use. And it kind of made the cow interesting versus when I reduced the cow to black and white. At first, it was a realistic cow I was painting. Then it almost looked like a Ben & Jerry's cow. You know, it just didn't really look like anything. And I had to add something, just like I was doing Darth Vader drinking a beer. So when World Cow happened, I started painting it still on canvas, and it was still just a cool image. It didn't have a message. About a month or two after the design was conceived, my family was hanging around the kitchen, and somebody goes, "We're all spots in the same cow." And we all just kind of like looked at each other and like, okay, now it's got a message. Now it's not just a cool thing to look at. It's a symbol for equality, for unity, for kindness, and just it goes on. And it became, I knew we had something, you know. Yeah. And one of my favorite street artists, Shep Ferry in LA, he got big. He was a stencil artist doing Andre the Giant. And he did the same image of Andre the Giant over and over and over and over. And I realized that, okay, if I just kept doing this, cow, over and over and over, it would become something big. And so I started in Vermont. I did a big mural in Middlesex. It was a 20-foot wide one. I started, I still painted the canvases. I started doing, you know, continuous craft fairs, except now it was World Cow. And it really didn't start going outside of this country or really Vermont until the beginning of the pandemic. Mm. That's when I started Instagramming sending messages on Instagram to different street artists around the world that I personally loved, followed. And the first big name was JPS, who had about 70,000 plus followers on Instagram. He is an incredible street artist from the same town that Banksy's from. And he said he'd do one in Berlin, Germany. He moved to Germany. So he tagged a World Cow with hashtag World Cow in Germany. And then that night, he challenged a guy in Russia to do it. And he painted made his own World Cow stencil in Russia. And also this guy in Greece, Vagalis, he goes by Lobotomy Streetwear. He was a really cool street artist with his own logo, doing it, stenciling it everywhere around Athens. He said he'd paint one if I shipped him the stencils. So these other artists were making their own. And I said, well, I've got this 5-foot cow stencil set. Sure, I'll send it to Greece. Little did I know that in Greece with customs, the person receiving the package also has to pay the same amount you do to send it. So I had to wire this guy that I didn't even know money so that he could accept the package. And then sure enough, in some parking lot in Athens, he used my stencils to paint the World Cow. And it really snowballed after that. I mean, there was those first couple of guys in Europe. And then it just, you know, other artists who followed them started doing it. And I used Google Translate to communicate with people all over the world. Like, I was talking in Portuguese to artists in Brazil, and that's how we painted them in Brazil. You know, in France, this guy, Lee, Monsieur Lee, he started cutting them out. He painted them all on paper, and he was the first to start pasting them everywhere. And then he would cut out the cow on paper, and he would use wallpaper glue, and he went all over France, different cities, pasting them. And then these artists in India, for example, Astitva, they have this nonprofit in Dehadradan where they help out children growing up in poverty by giving them refreshments, art supplies, really promoting art in these underdeveloped areas. So I got in touch with them because they were street artists. And they said, yeah, we can make stencils. I didn't have to ship them anything. And they started tagging World Cows everywhere. And I got a little nervous because those cows, I don't think necessarily had permission. And that's also when I realized, like in India, you know, cows are sacred. Yeah. So the image of a cow itself resonates with different people in different cultures. And now I start diving into culture diversity of what I do. And it just really started opening me up about just, you know, before I lived in this bubble here in Vermont, and I was always thinking about other artists in Vermont or just collaborating. And now I'm collaborating with artists in India and learning about their culture. And it's something that I felt rewarded by because it was just really giving me an appreciation for here. Like a lot of the places in Africa that I work with and the artists that I communicate with, who by the way, are extremely happy with what they have, but compared to what we have here, it's a whole different world. And yet they felt a part of it. They loved the fact that they were spots too on the same cow, and that we started using our platform kind of to share their stories. Yeah. And felt it was important to also say, hey, in Botswana, I bet you didn't know that the cow is a symbol of wealth there. So the kids that see a cow, they want one day, or that means you have something. And when they saw the World Cow mural that we did in Mwan in Botswana, they did it in a very kind of like poor area. And those kids saw the mural and they talked to them, and the kids were like, we will be able to leave and one day go do something big too. Wow. So it really just, it's amazing to see it. And once it started snowballing, it wasn't really necessarily me reaching out anymore. It was people started reaching out to me.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And congratulations, because I think in your mind's eye, you think about how something, a movement like this can go global, and you can start to expand in a way where your message really makes a large impact like this. And really cool that the cow is such an interesting image around the world, because it does mean something different in different cultures. Yeah, so cool. So I guess my last question for you is, and this is probably for our listeners as well who want to support your movement and support you as a Vermont business and a Vermont artist, how do you make money? You seem to give away a lot. How do you actually make money?
So the art sales, still when we sell paintings and art sales, now we're doing block prints, things like that. A portion of those will donate to charity. And that also helps, for example, support artists in Africa, where we'll hire them to paint a mural We did that in Uganda last year. We painted two. But the merch, like I've been doing this, it's almost 3 years full time now. And everybody always asks, how do you make money doing this? And it's branding, marketing, the merchandise too. So we sell bumper stickers, we sell t-shirts, the merch and the paintings as well, but also largely now it's public art installs. So we'll be hired by companies to paint a big cow somewhere. And we do festivals with our big giant inflatable balloon. So we branch off and try to do as much as we can, but it's also a registered trademark that is here in the United States, but also across Europe. So we can really partner with a lot of companies that want to co-brand maybe or do something together. For example, this big dairy company, Dairy Gold out west, they wanted to partner with us so that they could share internally. We're all spots in the same cow, that message to help their diversity, equity, inclusion programs. So these big dairy companies or really any big corporate needs to have a diversity, equity, inclusion program. So by working with us, you can kind of share our message. We can, together broadcast kindness across all races and genders.
For our listeners who want to support you as a Vermont business and might be interested in the merch, the artwork, maybe having you come in and do a larger installation, what's the best way to keep up to date with everything World Cow and to get in touch with you?
Anything that you message us on social media, which is World Cow, or the website comes directly to me. We don't have employees, so I'll get those messages. And I always say it doesn't matter if it's a sticker or if it's a huge giant mural, each cow is equally important promoting that message of kindness. So by, purchasing a sticker, you're supporting our movement, you're supporting that message. And also, if you want to be a part of the art movement, I mean, we love sharing your story. We want you to try to make a cow. And if you contact us through our website, we'll send you the image. We'll give you the street art instructions. We send everybody around the world and we'll help you kind of make your own cow. So we love when people want to get involved that way, as well as just supporting us by, purchasing a product.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's super cool. And I think it's just a great message. And it's a really interesting business story, just the way you've been able to market it and promote it. And we wish you all the best of luck at rebuilding the storefront so we can come visit you in person soon.
Thank you. Yeah, we will be back and we're looking forward to that.
And what's the website, sir? Anyone who's listening, and the way I got in touch with you, I read an article about you and I contacted you through the website and got in touch with you like same day. So for anybody who is interested in learning more, what's the website address?
It's worldcow.earth. Worldcow.com was taken at the time, and worldcow.earth kind of sounded cooler. It's a Japanese domain company over there, and I guess nowadays, who cares if it's a .com?
Yeah. So worldcow.earth and worldcow everywhere, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. People can catch you on all of those?
Yes. Yep.
Awesome. DJ, such a great story. Great to have you here and to learn more about it. And we're happy to see more World Cows showing up everywhere.
Oh, thank you. The herd's going to keep growing. And we're really excited for the future. I love pushing the envelope and I hope to keep doing big things. And it's going to be great for our movement because, unfortunately, kindness is really needed nowadays, especially in our political climates. And I feel like the message will be needed way long after I'm gone.
Yeah. Well, you're doing important work, so thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here. As you know, we have new episodes that come out all the time, so wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe and send us comments. We'd love to hear from you guys. And until our next episode, happy learning. Hey everyone, John Tota here. I want to thank you for tuning in to another Learning Life episode. We love our Learning Life community and are so grateful for your support. We'd appreciate it if you could take a minute to rate us and write a review wherever you're listening right now. Your ratings and comments help new people find the show so we can keep growing our community and bringing great episodes to you.